I just want to say a couple of things, and we're going to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I was thinking about homecoming and what homecoming means. And as a passage of scripture I'd like to read to you, found in the book of 2 Samuel 23. This is before David became king, and he was being chased by King Saul and battling many different enemies on many different fronts. And he's now, the Philistines have garrisoned himself in Bethlehem, and David is in a hold, or he's holed up, I guess we could say. And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 15, the Bible says, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." You know, church homecomings, I guess, basically stem and revolve around the root word home. And the word home, I think, means more than a physical place. It's more than a simple plot of land or a building, a city, or even a nation. It's even more than a family, or even more than a church. It's all of them, but it's much more. It is a condominium of experiences, memories, and relationships, a circle of life that is filled with trials, tribulations, and many great hallelujah moments. It is something that God forever etches in our minds and our hearts, to which our souls imploringly long and desire. We're taught in school that there are five senses: hearing, sight, touch, smell, and taste. But I think God puts within all of us another sense that is more than a physical sense, a sense of remembrance. There's something in our DNA that always has a longing for that place that we call home. That place that God has placed in our heart this morning. You see, homecoming is a time of remembrance and a time of reflection and a time, I hope, of rejoicing. I hope today that our day is filled with joy and warmth and laughter. But you know, it also needs to be a time of worship. In our scripture, we find that David was wanting a drink from Bethlehem's well. He was wanting a drink from the well that he had drank from as a boy. Our scripture says that David longed. That is, he had a strong desire or a craving, especially for something this morning. He wanted a drink. But I don't believe David was simply thinking and was not simply thirsty for water. You see, David had something inside of him that was telling him, "Oh, what a glass of water from Bethlehem's well would do for me." You know, I often think about when I was a boy growing up, and I remember the many happy memories that we have at times, and I think a lot of times about my grandmother. And on Sunday morning, we'd get up, and when I was just a little boy. I'm talking about, I was just a tiny boy. And you know, I remember watching several years ago the movie Rocky, and they put Sylvester Stallone in the alley and said, with some chickens, and said, "When you can catch one of them chickens, you're fast." And I thought, man, you don't know nothing. My grandma kicked me out of the back porch on Sunday morning and said, "Catch one of them chickens," and he wasn't fenced up in no alley. And I grab a chicken and she'd wring that old chicken's head and throw it under a wash tub, and it'd flop around there for a while, and she'd pluck it and kick it, clean it and cook it. And, you know, to Till this day, there's nobody ever can cook fried chicken like my grandma. Well, I'd like right now to have a good piece of her fried chicken. Some of her big old cat head biscuits. You know, there's something in there this morning that makes us have that desire and that longing. And David was desiring and longing for a drink of water from Bethlehem's well, not simply because he was thirsty, because of something that God had put into him many years ago. You know, this morning we need a time today that we have that longing and that desire. And I believe that the Lord has placed within all of us today that desire. I was talking to Brother George a moment ago before the service, and he said he was glad that he was able to come back this year, and that if you ever came here one time, you felt like you was at home. And he said, I guess that's why you're homesteading here. Amen. I done put down a homestead, done put down roots, but this is home. And I'm glad that I'm here today. I'm glad this morning that I can look back and remember many things that have taken place in this church, you see. Because we need a time of friendship and fellowship and fun, and a time when we remember. You know, we need to remember this morning many times what the Lord has done for us. I'm afraid many times I forget what the Lord's done for me. Brother Ellis sometimes sings the song, Remind Me. And it, you know, we need to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. That we need to pull back that curtain of remembrance now and then and show me where you brought me from and where I might have been. Well, this morning I don't know where I'd have been if it hadn't have been for the Lord. I have no idea today what might have taken place in my life, but I'm glad that one day the Lord sent the Holy Spirit and the Word of the Lord came into my heart and He convicted me of my sins and brought me to a place this morning of salvation, and that He delivered me this morning from the wrath to come. A lot of things have taken place in my life, but I guess the grandest of all was when Jesus came to me. See, that's a great remembrance today. We need to remember that. We need to think about that a little bit every once in a while and reflect back on that time when the Lord spoke to our heart and He did for us what no one else could do. You know, He saved us and He sustains us and succors us through the walk of life. He took care of us. I'm glad this morning that He's taking care of me. Aren't you? Amen. I can't tell you how many times, and you know, sometimes I forget that it's the Lord taking care of me and I start trying to do it all by myself. But it's really the Lord taking care of us, isn't it? He's brought me through many dangerous toils and snares. I'm glad that this morning, as the Lord has brought me through those many dangers, toils, and snares, that His grace has always been sufficient. What a blessing. And how many blessings has God brought into your life this morning? Well, you look around and I think of all the people here at Rocky Springs, what a blessing each one of them is. I think of all the people that I've met through the years and what a blessing they are. I believe this morning that Uncle Bud Robinson, the Nazareth preacher of many years ago, and they asked him one time, said, Brother Bud, has the Lord been blessing you? And he said, has He been blessing me? He said, man, I'm His favorite. Sometimes I feel like I'm the favorite of the Lord. Sometimes I feel like that God just opens up heaven and pours it down upon us. Amen. You know, in spite of that, sometimes I'm not thankful enough. I'm not grateful enough, and I complain and murmur. And you know, I read about the children of Israel when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, and boy, He brought them out under the blood of the Lamb and was taking care of them, led them across the Red Sea and on dry ground, destroyed their enemies in the waters and the mud that came back over them, was preparing and sustaining them and giving them everything they needed. Yet the Bible says they murmured and complained. I could probably be pretty hard on them, but every once in a while I look back and say, I think I've done the same thing many times. murmured and complained. The Bible says we ought not to do that. We ought to be lights and we ought to shine for Jesus in this world in the book of Philippians. He said, don't let that mumbling and grumbling be named among you. Don't let any murmurings come forth. Shine forth like lights. We ought to let this world know this morning that Jesus Christ has come into our life and that He's blessed us, and this morning that He's done for us what He's done for us. And He's going to succor us and sustain us and keep us going through all the days of our life. And that His grace is sufficient no matter what takes place this morning. David longed. He wanted that drink of water from Bethlehem's well. But he didn't think he'd get it. But you know, the Bible says that he had three valiant men, three mighty men, three brave men that buckled up their swords and said, we're going to get our king a drink of water. And they headed down and they broke through the Philistines and they filled a container of water and they brought it back. He said, David, we got you a drink of water from Bethlehem's well. Well, you'd have thought David would have grabbed that canteen or whatever the container was and opened it up and just guzzled it down and said, man, that's good. But David didn't do that. The Bible says that David poured it out unto the Lord. He didn't drink it. He took the cap off of it and turned it up and poured it in the ground. Now somebody said, boy, that was ungrateful. I believe David this morning was taking a time to worship. He poured it out unto the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to pour ourselves out unto the Lord this morning. That's what Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be a drink offering. I'm ready to be consumed. No matter what God does, I'm ready for that this morning. You know, we ought to be ready for whatever God asks us to do. I've thought a lot of times about the Apostle Paul, and you know, in the book of Romans, he said, I'm ready to declare the gospel. He said this morning, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, we ought to be ready to declare the gospel wherever we go. We ought to be ready this morning to let people know that there is a Savior and His name is Jesus. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready whenever God gives me an opportunity. I'm going to declare the gospel. You know, he said in the book of Philippians, he said, I'm not only ready to declare it. He said, I'm ready to defend it. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. You know, as I read the epistles of Paul and as you read the book of Acts when he was imprisoned, it doesn't seem like Paul ever defended himself, but Paul always defended the gospel. Paul always said, I'm in defense of the gospel. I read I heard Jerry Vines preach several years ago over in the Alabama Evangelism Conference. And he said that at one time he was talking to Chuck Colson, who, of course, was in the Nixon administration and eventually became a Christian and founded a prison ministry. And he said Chuck Colson had come to the town in which he was pastoring at that time, Rome, Georgia. And he met Jerry Vines, and he was talking to Jerry Vines, and they were eating a meal. And he said, you know, I was interviewed by a young lady from one of your newspapers yesterday, and said she was pretty rude to me at times. And Dr. Vine said, well, what did she ask? And he said, well, he said the main thing, she wanted to know what right I had to be forgiven and born again. Dr. Vine, he said, you know, he said, I looked at Mr. Colson, and he said, I can tell all of you, and I can tell that young lady, and I can tell myself, I have no right. Thank God it's grace. You see, we don't have any right this morning, but thank God there's the gospel. And we can defend the gospel. I can't always defend what I do. I make a lot of mistakes. I scream down a few empty hollers every once in a while. You know. But you know, I can always defend the gospel. I can always defend the gospel. Nothing wrong with the gospel, is there? A lot of things wrong with me, but nothing wrong with the gospel. I heard about several years ago, a man was preaching in a revival meeting, and he was in a large city. And as he was sitting on the platform, a man brought an envelope to him, and he opened up the letter. And he sat there, and he read it. And he stood to preach, and he began to read the letter. He said, "I received this letter a few minutes ago." And it began to enumerate many different sins committed by an individual. Adultery, gambling, thievery, foul language, many, many things. And he said at the end of the letter, it said, "And we know that you have committed all of these things. And if you do not leave the platform and do not preach, we'll expose you to the whole city." And he said, the man said, "Sad to say, all of this is true. But," he said, "since Jesus came into my heart." Yeah. You see, this morning, a lot of people, it doesn't matter this morning. I guess it matters. I'm not saying that. But the main thing we need to understand today is I can't defend what I used to do. But since Jesus came into my heart, he changed my life. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. That's what we need to worship this morning. We need to say, "God, we're ready no matter what you ask us to do. I'm ready to declare the gospel. I'm ready to defend the gospel." You know, Paul said one other thing. He said over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I'm ready to die in the gospel." Well, that's the greatest thing I believe that we could ever think about today. Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm about ready to leave this world, and it won't be long until I cross that river." But he said, "I'm ready." You know, my question I would say this morning to most people is, are you ready? Are you ready? Paul said, "I'm ready. I'm ready." Can you imagine what it was like? He was there in the Mamertine prison in Rome, and as he was there gathered in that prison, and wasn't like most of the prisons that we think about. It was simply a big old hole that had been wallowed out on the ground, and people were let down with ropes, and they were there in the filth and the stench, and it was a horrible place. And one day somebody came to that opening and said, "The rope's down, Paul of Tarsus." And they pulled up a skinny little man and said, "It's time. We're going down to the Tiber River. We're going to cut your head off." And as they're going down, the Apostle Paul begins to hum. And the man turned around and said, "What in the world are you singing about?" He said, "Man, I'm singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." They go just a little bit further and he says, "What are you singing now?" He said, "Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now." Paul was ready to die because he had met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Paul was ready to be offered. He said, "If this is what God wants with me, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to be offered." That's what real worship is, I think, this morning. We talk about worship a lot, and I talk about it at times, and as I look across the Bible and as I study at the Scripture, and I don't mean to offend or anything, but I'm not for sure that a lot of the things that we call worship is really worship. I think worship is when our heart is attuned to God and we're willing to do whatever God wants us to do. When we become obedient to His will and just do and say, "Lord, I'm ready. Here am I, as Isaiah said, send me." "Where are you going?" "I don't know. I'm just going wherever the Lord sends me." Morning, we need to be ready this morning. David poured that water out. And he said, "I'm going to worship the Lord. What a great God I serve. I'm going to worship Him." You know, today as we have homecoming and as we enjoy all the food, we enjoy the fellowship, we have a lot of fun, and I'm glad we can do that. Nothing wrong with that. I like to have a lot of fun. Amen? But let us also remember the great things the Lord has done for us. Let us be willing to worship Him in this morning. Let us stand ready to do and say, God, whatever You want me to do, I'm willing to do that this morning. I thought about a little boy out in Seattle, Washington, was transferred into a school, and he was in the first grade. And when he got to the school and came into the classroom for the first day, he had a little name tag on, and the teacher in the first grade, as Ms. Crow will attest, and Ms. Teresa and many others this morning, you're never surprised at a kid's name anymore. And she looked at his name, and it was Fruit Stand. And she'd heard him called Seafoam and many other things, so she wasn't too surprised. So all day long, she would talk to Fruit Stand, and Fruit Stand this and Fruit Stand that. And at the end of the day, she takes him out to put him on the school bus, and she says, "Now, don't worry. The school bus driver knows where to let you off, because on the other side of your name tag, you have where you get off." And she turned his name tag over, and it said Anthony. And that's probably a true story. But you know, the main thing was, I guarantee you, he got home. We're here today. We're having homecoming, because God put something in our heart, want us to come here and be and mingle with God's people. But you know, there's another homecoming we're waiting on this morning. One of these days, we're going to make it home. One of these days, we're going to have a grand reunion. Amen. I think about that every once in a while, probably a little bit more than I used to. And every once in a while, I get to missing my baby, and I get to thinking about one of these days. Say, hallelujah, He's risen, because He's risen. I'm headed to glory this morning. You know, no matter where we go, God put something in our heart to want to hit home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm glad this morning you're here. I'm glad that we're having homecoming. I'm glad God put something in our heart to make us want to come today. I'm glad I'm homesteaded here. But more importantly this morning, I'm glad God put something else in my heart to make me want to go to my heavenly home. And I'm headed there. I hope you are too. And you know the great thing about it is, if you're not, Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come and take over the water of life freely. Are you ready to die? Are you ready? You see, you have to answer that question this morning. I can't answer it for you. But if you're not ready, I can tell you this morning, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come.